A Billboard Evangelism Phone Dialogue. Did you ever wonder what a phone team member encounters when he answers a phone call from a billboard caller? What kind of questions do people ask? What you are about to hear is an actual call conversation between a CAM phone team member and a billboard caller who dialed the toll-free number posted on every gospel billboard. Minor editing was done to remove all personal caller information and enhance the flow of the conversation for the listener. Keep in mind that this is only one call and not a complete representation of the team member's interaction with callers. You will probably think of other ways the team member could have responded, and in reality, he probably did too. Often after hanging up with a caller, a team member will think of things he wished he would have said. But we thank God and give Him the glory for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in giving the right words and scripture verses to our phone team day after day as they minister to many callers. They really need your prayers.
Thank you for calling Gospel Billboards. My name is Kurt. How are you this morning?
Hi, good. How are you?
Excellent. I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. Did you happen to see one of our signs this morning?
Yeah, I did. What did you say your name was again? Was it Kurt?
Yes, Kurt. Glad you called. Where did you see the sign? What city and state?
I think we're driving through Pennsylvania right now. We're on I-76, is it? Yeah. We're heading west on I-76 near mile marker 87 or something like that, I think is when we saw it.
Okay. All right. Very good. And what did that billboard say? Do you recall?
Oh, I don't remember. I think it was...
There is evidence.
Oh, yes. There was evidence. They had a picture of a baby, yeah. And then they have the toll-free number.
Sure, we have our toll-free number on our billboards. Every one of them has that toll-free number on it. We actually have about 1,000 billboards up all around the country. In fact, North America. We have messages in all 50 states, as well as Puerto Rico and several Canadian provinces. And we take telephone calls. Our telephone number is prominently displayed there that includes Four Truth in it. And we've got about 18 to 20 different messages that we utilize. And so, of course, you saw the one that says there is evidence for God. We have others that say, who is Jesus? Read your Bible. Where are you going, heaven or hell? Things like that.
Okay. Yeah, just so you know, my girlfriend is here, too.
Hello.
Yeah.
Good morning, Chris.
Yeah, I forgot to introduce her, and you might have heard her voice there a little bit.
I did hear the voice in the background, yes.
Yeah.
So, as you guess, this morning, and you maybe had some questions that you wanted to address to me. I'll be very glad to look at those with you if you do. Or other things that we do is we pray with callers. We send out free literature. We connect people with Bible teaching, Bible practicing churches. We try to address the needs that are out there as we... and to point people to God.
Okay. That's fair. I guess the question was, what the evidence is, because that's what the billboard is about. What is the evidence that you have? I'm currently not a believer.
Okay.
So I guess my question would be, what do you have that would make me believe? Or why should I believe?
All right. Well, let's look at that. Well, I want to thank you for the opportunity to address this question with you. Why should I believe? Let me just speak to you a bit about evidence. I think there's really a lot of evidence for God. But one of the things that I would like to say is that as we consider the evidence for God, we ought to think about some of the ideas that exist out there regarding evidence. I remember many years ago there was a lot of noise about God being dead and so forth. In fact, back in the 1960s, Carl Sagan. Do you remember the name Carl Sagan? Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I think he did a thing called Cosmos or something like that.
Very likely so. He was a very famous astronomer.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometime back in the 1960s, I believe it was, maybe about 1966 or maybe just before that, he made the declaration that there were two important criteria for any planet to support life. And the way he explained that was that it had to have the right kind of star, and the planet had to be the right distance from the star. So given the many planets that were known, or supposed at least, to be in the universe, the probability of life on other planets was supposed to be very, very high. And that actually is kind of what launched the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Back in the late 60s, NASA got involved, and a lot of expense, a lot of effort was put into searching for extraterrestrial intelligence. Well, one of the things that happened as the years went past is that the number of parameters increased. Instead of two, as Carl Sagan supposed, scientists eventually concluded that, no, there were 10. And then they decided, no, there's 20, and later 50, and so forth. And currently, as far as I know, the number of known parameters for any planet to support life is right at 200. If you think about that. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. I was just going to say that I think I've heard of that too, yes. But
sure.
The number of criteria is quite a bit at this point.
So anyway, the number has grown a great deal. And if you take the, if you just do a little bit of mathematics and take the number of known parameters as 200 for any planet to support life and do the calculations, you're going to find out that in this universe that we live in, for any planet to support life, for every one of those 200 known parameters to exist simultaneously, for any planet to support life, the probability is like taking a coin and flipping it, having it come up heads 10 quintillion times in a row. 10 quintillion. That's for any planet to support life. Now, we know that one planet does support life. The fact that in a universe like ours, planet Earth supports life is nothing short of a mathematical miracle.
Okay.
I think we should give some consideration to that. Think about that a little bit. You might want to check out some of the things I told you, and I can tell you where to do that. I've quoted during this conversation from a Wall Street Journal article that appeared on Christmas Day 2014.
All right.
You can check that out. The title of the article is Science Increasingly Makes the Case for God.
Science Increasingly Makes the Case for God. Okay.
Right.
We're writing that down. So
okay.
You.
Right. So you can check that out. I have other things that I'd like to talk to you about as well this morning if you've got time.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know if astronomers still think that life is likely out in the universe, or if they've concluded at this point that we're the only ones, or we're very likely the only ones?
Well, I'll say this, that when you talk about astronomers or scientists or people that are driving the interstate, or people that are sitting here answering telephone calls this morning, when you talk about people in broad classifications like that, you get all kinds of ideas.
That's fair. Yeah, I guess I'm just wondering if, like, is there a consensus or, like, a general understanding, or what do you think? I guess I don't know. Because, right, the Carl Sagan thought that once upon a time, it was very likely that there was a lot of life out there because there were only two parameters that, you know, he came up with. And, like, now there's a whole bunch of parameters, so you're saying that that means that it's not very likely any other life out there. I'm just curious if everybody pretty much agrees on that, or, like, if somebody else would maybe disagree, and maybe why.
To find any particular topic where everybody pretty much agrees on it, I don't know how, I don't know what, where you'd have to go to find that particular topic. I will say this, though, that if you just think about the search for extraterrestrial intelligence as it existed back in the 1970s, for example, and think about where that's at today, you know, there has been a tremendous diminishment of interest and effort in that respect. I think that tells us something.
I mean, yeah.
So, you know, let's move more from the mathematical perspective into more a philosophical perspective as we think about evidence for God. I want to consider with me this morning just the fact that life exists. Life exists. You know, you're alive. I'm alive. That's how we're able to carry on this conversation this morning.
Yes, of course.
You and I both know, I suspect at least, that many scientists today claim the world began when life somehow sprang from non-living matter. Yet those same scientists are powerless to explain why spontaneous life cannot be produced in their laboratories today. It's not happening. It simply is not happening. Those scientists who make this claim are simply unable to replicate the creation of life. And their inability to do so documents their inferiority to a higher power that once did bring life into existence.
How do you know that a higher power did do that?
Well, if the smartest scientists in the world are unable to do this, somebody that had higher power than they do was able to bring life into existence. That's what I mean when I say a higher power.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that they can't do.
That's right. We're human. A lot of things that humans can't do. Of course, the billboard said there's evidence for God. God is limitless. So, you know, a lot of things that scientists can't do, you're right, many things they cannot do.
Right. We're just people, right? And we've only come so far, so there's only some things that we're capable of doing at this point.
Mm-hmm. We are. We certainly have many limitations. The interesting thing about the declaration that there's evidence for God is that the God we're talking about has no limitations. The only limitations that God has are in those areas where he self-limits.
Okay. What kind of thing does he put his limits?
Pardon me?
He's limitless except for certain parts where he does put limits?
Where he self-limits. Where you know, God, for example, will not do anything to compromise his character. It's impossible for God to lie, the Bible says, because God is a God of truth. He chooses never to tell the untruth. God self-limits. He limits himself. And that's the only thing that it's impossible for God to do is something that would compromise his character.
Well, I mean, he could be lying about that, right? If that is what he's saying, right? Because
people lie. People lie. You know, I've told lies. You've told lies. I think we can say that every one of us have told lies.
I would agree with that.
We've been untrue. Yeah. And God says he's not. He's not untruthful. It's impossible for him to lie, he says. So we should look at the things that God tells us. For example, one of the things that we could look at is, you know, God promised a long time ago that he was going to send the Messiah. A Messiah was going to come. And we read 4,000 years of history in the Old Testament, and there are increasingly more prophecies concerning the Messiah to come. And more detail is revealed during all of those years. And suddenly, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ appears on the scene. On this planet Earth, Jesus Christ appears. And the appearing of Jesus Christ and the ministry of Jesus Christ exactly matches all those hundreds of prophecies. That's an amazing thing. And God told us all along, you know, what was going to happen. He's telling people, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. For example, you know, the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem. You know, a lot of details that the Bible speaks about. The Messiah is going to be a suffering servant. And we read about that. In the Old Testament, we have this prophetic compilation of declarations about the Messiah. And then Jesus appears and begins to minister. And then we have the history of his life, and the historical record matches the prophetic declarations. It's fulfilled prophecy recorded in human history. It's an amazing thing. God will not lie. God cannot lie, because it would compromise his character.
I mean, yeah, I would agree if he wanted to have the best character imaginable, to himself even, right? To his own standards, it would make sense for him not to lie. I guess...
It makes sense. It makes sense.
My only thing is, somebody who does lie or can lie is still capable of saying that they wouldn't. I guess, though, the separate part, though, that you're kind of saying, which is that he has given us truth, right? Is that essentially it? The prophecy with Jesus and that being fulfilled has shown him to be trustworthy?
Everything that I have encountered in my life, and I'm 65 years old, that's probably a bit older than you are, I suppose.
It is. Yeah, I'm 24.
Okay.
We're pretty young, yeah.
Okay. And let me tell you something that happened when I was about your age, if you've got time. Are you in a hurry this morning?
No, I've got time.
Okay.
I've got a couple more hours of driving, so.
All right. Well, I was a college student. I was a student at the University of Kansas.
Oh, okay.
And something very interesting happened to me as I concluded my college career. I was 24 years old when I finished. The last several months, beginning in the latter part or mid part of the first semester of that year, there were some interesting things that began to take place in my life. Now, I had been an agnostic. I was an agnostic at least by the time I was a mid-teenager. In my mid-teens, I had turned towards agnosticism. I'd had some exposure to Christianity, Christian teaching as a youth, but it really didn't resonate with me, and I turned to agnosticism. I view that today a little differently than I did at that time, but I became an agnostic. I did whatever I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, in the manner I wanted to do it, as long as I had funds and time to get that done. So I have a lot of regrets from that era of my life. Many things that I did that I wished I had not done. But that's who I was. That's what I was doing. I lived that way for about 7 or 8 years. And as I began to approach the conclusion of my college years, coming near the point of meeting my degree requirements, I began to think about some things that I had not thought about previously for a long time, and that was the future. I began to field inquiries from prospective employers and that sort of thing, and I was forced to think about where I might live, where I might work, where what my life might become like, you know, what kind of shape it would take. And as I did that, I recognized, as I thought about the future, that for all I was doing to find happiness, I really had no real joy, no real peace, and no real purpose in life. Those things were absent. I was actually living kind of a vacant sort of life. When I recognized that, I at first tried to pass that off as just the common human experience. But then I began to look around me to see if that really was how other people lived as well. And in many cases it was. It looked like that everybody was living a life without purpose, without joy, without peace. But then I began to discover here and there, within the realm of my exposure, a few individuals who seemed to have that which I did not. They seemed to have real joy and real peace and real purpose in life. And then the amazing discovery descended upon me that every one of those individuals was a Christian. When I made that discovery, I didn't have a toll-free number to call like you've had this morning. I didn't have anybody to talk to about it, but I decided that I needed to give this a little bit more consideration. And the only way I knew to do that was to get the book that Christians read, and I speak to you about the Bible this morning. Now, I had very carefully crafted an image that I did not want to mar or to destroy. Very carefully crafted that. But late one night, I left the apartment that I shared with another young man, and I went down to a bookstore near campus and made a purchase of a Bible. I brought the Bible back to the apartment, and at night, while my roommate was asleep in his bedroom, I would get up in my bedroom the middle of the night, turn the light on, and I began to read the Bible. And it was through reading the Bible that I became convinced that there is so much evidence for God. This entire journey that I'm describing to you took about 8 to 10 months, but I began to read, and eventually somewhere during that 8 to 10 month interval of time, I decided to pray. And my prayer was very simple, but it was just simply a prayer that, God, if you exist, please reveal yourself to me. Make me certain that you exist. And if you have a purpose for me in my life, make me aware of that purpose. Just give me a sense that that's what you want for me. So as I said, this entire journey took about 8 to 10 months. But eventually, I became absolutely convinced that God does exist. And as I read the New Testament, I became convinced that God had a purpose for me. He had a call on my life, as he does every individual's. I surrendered, was born again, as Jesus taught. That was all 41 years ago this past summer. And so I have walked in fellowship as a born-again child of God for 41 plus years. I can tell you that I have never for one moment regretted that choice. It's been a wonderful experience. I just wanted to share that testimony with you. It all happened as I was nearing the end of my college years, and it's been a tremendous blessing for more than 4 decades of my life.
Well, I don't know what to say about that.
Well, I'm just sharing that with you. I'm not pressing it upon you or anything of that sort. But I want you to know that that's how life can be lived, with purpose, joy, and peace that's surpassing our expectations. It can happen. And I wish that for you. I desire that for you. And God does too. The Bible says that God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. To become born again, as I described briefly, an individual must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he brought the gospel of salvation from heaven to earth. An individual must repent. An individual must request water baptism. Those are all things that you and I can do. I did it. You can do it. You can do those things. And when you believe and repent and request water baptism, God will do something that no man can do. That is that God will place his Spirit within us. We suddenly have a new perspective in life. We have new desires and a new destiny. Our destiny becomes heaven. And it fills an individual with joy, peace, and purpose. That could be your experience. Right. That could be yours.
That's an amazing story.
I see. So the question is, so why would we become Christians? It's because of all this that we can have.
Exactly right. You know, you might want to know more about some of the issues and questions of life, and so I do want to share with you this morning while we're on the phone together that our website is gospelbillboards.org.
Gospelbillboards.org?
Gospelbillboards.org. I want to encourage the two of you. If you don't want to do it together, do it individually. But go to that website. You'll find a lot of audios there. You'll find a lot of information presented there. You'll find messages that we have. You'll find locations of messages. You'll just find a lot of things that will give meaning to you in life. You know, why does life exist? Where are we going, heaven or hell? You know, who is Jesus? Those are big questions. Those are questions that we all grapple with, or ought to grapple with at least. And you
right.
can find direction there to those questions and many, many, many more besides.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if it's all true, then I would like to know about it, right? I think it's fair to say that if it's all true, then it's something that I really got to look into.
That's right. It really is. And, you know, one of the things that, there's a couple of things that hinder people from wanting to know God like this, wanting to be born again as Jesus taught. One of those things is that they've seen false representations of Christianity. And I regret that very much. False representations of Christianity. There's many things that are done today or spoken today or presented today that are under the name of Christian that are decidedly not Christian. When you look at what the New Testament teaches, many things that are presented today as Christian are not Christian. It confuses people. And my encouragement to folks is that go to the Bible, go to the New Testament, and read what Jesus taught, and read what the early church practiced, and then you decide for yourself whether the things that are being presented today as Christian meet the criteria for what Jesus said was Christian, early church. So that's one of the things that's a hindrance to people in really believing. A second thing is that some people like sin. They just like sin. They don't want to be jarred out of that. That's a little bit where I was during those years of agnosticism. I liked sin. I enjoyed it. But you know what? I found after I was born again that there was so much more joy in the things that please God than the things that pleased Kurt. That's the way it is. I would describe it this way. It's a surpassing joy, a surpassing joy. Surpassing anything I experienced before, surpassing anything I even imagined before. It's a surpassing joy. And that could be your experience.
What do you think it is that people would prefer to be in their sin if it makes them less happy, or they would be more happy if they were Christian. Right?
Well, they choose that because they think that's the only choice they have. They don't really know what it's like to be born again, as Jesus taught. They haven't seen, maybe, the things that I saw, where I saw a few individuals who were authentically Christian, who had their lives changed. I had friends whose lives were changed. And the great change that came upon those individuals, individuals that used to party with me, individuals that used to do a lot of things, that suddenly they were changed, and I saw that. And it really made an impact. So perhaps the people you're talking about have never seen anybody like that. I don't know. Or perhaps they're just not honest with their own conscience. I really don't know what it is that's holding people back. But I know that many people are held back. In fact, the Bible says that Satan hath blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them, and they should be healed. So there is an enemy. The enemy's name is Satan. And he wants to hold you in his grips, and don't allow him to do that. Be honest. Be honest. Do your search. Go to the website. Go to the Bible. You know, just do the search.
GospelBillboards.org, right?
GospelBillboards.org, yes. Yeah. Well, I have greatly enjoyed this conversation. Greatly enjoyed it.
Oh, no, yeah. Thank you for your time.
One of the things I like to do for people is to pray with them when I get ready to conclude a call. And I would like to do that with the two of you this morning, if I may, please.
Yeah, I mean, you're welcome to pray.
Okay. All right. Let's pray then. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this privilege of having the conversation with... Thank you, Father, for prompting them to call. I pray, Heavenly Father, they would give serious consideration to some of the things that they have heard during this conversation. That the things that I spoke were truth. I pray, Heavenly Father, that it would have been that way. And if there's been anything that I've said that's been misunderstood, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just discard that from their memories. Anything that I presented that would not square with your truth 100%. I pray that you would take that from them. Father, bless them as they ponder, as they consider. Bless them as they go to the website, gospelbillboards.org. I pray, Heavenly Father, that all of us would see Jesus for who he truly is. Thank you, Father, that he came to earth and died for sinners, that his blood cleanses us from sin. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that he rose again from the grave, that the empty tomb declares with resounding testimony that he is who he said he was. Thank you, Father, for the empty tomb. Thank you, Father, for the ascended Lord Jesus, who has gone back to your right hand, and there he ever lives, where he intercedes, where he pleads in our behalf. And someday he's coming back to earth, and we want to be ready for that glorious morning. Father, would you keep them safe this morning as they travel? Keep them safe from danger. Keep them safe from evil. Keep them safe from deception. Bless them and care for them in their various endeavors in life. Bless them, Father. Keep them and speak to their hearts that they might someday soon be born again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, you're very welcome. I want to welcome you to call me back someday. You can call me dialing the same number, the number that has the four truth in it, 833-678-7884, and then ringing through to extension 208.
208.
Yes.
Thanks, Kurt.
You are very welcome. God bless you both today.
Thank you. You have a good day.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Would you like to be involved in the Billboard Evangelism Program? Here are several ways. Please pray for our dedicated phone team who speaks with thousands of spiritually hungry Americans over the phone. sign up to receive an urgent prayer alert on your phone, and a weekly email containing several prayer requests concerning callers' spiritual needs. To listen to recorded prayer requests, call 330-800-9203 anytime. The door of opportunity to present Jesus and His Word on billboards is wide open. CAM has established excellent connections with our nation's largest billboard companies, enabling us to obtain significant discounts. $1 presents a gospel message over 1,000 times. If you wish to impact Americans with a gospel message, your help will be greatly appreciated. The Adopt a Billboard sponsorship program is a personalized way to sponsor a billboard. Call the CAM office and request an Adopt a Billboard sponsorship sheet to choose which billboard you would like to sponsor. If you would like to stay updated on the Billboard Evangelism Program and learn more about the effect these gospel billboards are having on America, sign up to receive Billboard Evangelism's free quarterly newsletter. To sign up for any of the prayer options and quarterly newsletter, or to make a contribution, please call 330-893-2428 or visit our website at ChristianAidMinistries.org.